Welcome to the Unscripted SEO Interview Podcast. Yes, it's 100% unscripted, 100% unrehearsed, 100% unedited, and 100% real. I'm your host, Mark A. Preston. My guest today is a specialist in technical SEO, but just so I don't do her any injustice, I'd like her to introduce herself. Hello.
Hi, everyone. My name is Christina Zarenko. And yes, Mark is right. I'm a technical SEO person. I've been in the SEO industry for over 10 years. Doing technical SEO, hands-on experience, like real experience, right? Not theoretical. I've worked on different full-time jobs and agencies, and then as a consultant, and then as the course creator who teaches people to do technical SEO correctly. So I've been on different sides and I've seen it all, which gives me a really interesting perspective into like the industry in general.
Right. So why technical SEO in particular?
Well, it's very interesting. Well, I fell into SEO in general, like everybody does in SEO. You just fall into SEO. Nobody from our generation and like before our generation, nobody, when they were kids, they asked, what do you want to be? Nobody said, I want to be in SEO. Like, nobody, because it was not a thing. Maybe now children do, because like, oh, they see us and they're like, oh, maybe I want to be an SEO. It's cool. Like, but then it wasn't the case. So obviously I fell into SEO accidentally. I just decided to invest like two of my salaries in a course in SEO. And at that point, I had no idea what a website was. I was not tech savvy at all, like zero tech savviness. And I don't have any developer background or anything. So I went through the course. I loved it a lot. And I read a lot. And I was like doing things. I was crying a couple of times because I couldn't think about how do you upload your XML sitemap to the root folder, but whatever, it happens. So then I found a job as a junior SEO at an agency. And at that point, I didn't even know like what the difference was between different parts of SEO, whether it's like link building, content on-page SEO, or technical SEO. I was doing a lot of link building, creating spam on the internet, like most of the people who started in SEO did. But I also was doing was analyzing websites, and I was so excited. And I remember there was one client in the commerce store. It was a UK store, by the way. So it was a huge UK store. And I realized that they had like lots of duplicate content on the website, and they recommended a duplicate content strategy where we would implement canonicals, but nothing would happen. So I was like, okay, what's going on? And then I started looking at the implementation very thoroughly, like the things that I sent versus what was implemented. And believe me or not, but instead of href, they implemented hfir, which like just a random combination of letters, which doesn't mean anything. So obviously Google couldn't read it. And that's when I realized that the devil is in the detail when it comes to technical SEO. And it was so fascinating to me. So then I realized that, oh, that's what I want to do. I want to have more control, because in technical SEO, you have more control than on page, in my opinion. And you also need to be very attentive about what, like, because things might not be the way they look on the surface. You need to be able to look under the hood and see if they're actually correct.
Yes. Before I got into this industry, I was a qualified mechanic. So looking under the hood was my profession.
That's your job.
You can't just sit behind the wheel and think, oh, yes, it's broken, without actually, looking under the hood and, stripping the engine down and working out what's going on. And I find that mentality of diagnosis and problem solving is a lot like the SEO part of it. And I think,
oh, I love it.
The technical, and but that's probably why I get the mindset I have now, because I'm used to diagnosing things. But from a technical SEO perspective, I've always said that, well, if the machine is broken, the engine's broken, then there's no point trying to drive more people to the website if it's broken. And I think a lot of people just see technical SEO as, oh, well, can I get my pages indexed? You know, but it goes far deeper than that. From your understand, well, not from your perception and from what you've seen, what tends to be the biggest sort of technical SEO problems out there?
I think it really depends on the website. Like when you would talk about smaller websites, usually they're just like, they know index the whole website. It's like, oh, that's going to be a very easy win, or they disable crawling on the website. But that goes about like really small sites. But with bigger websites, I'd say the problem, like the fundamental problem, is that the structure is broken. And what I mean by that is like, okay, let's say a website has all types of pages that they need to have. Let's say it's an e-commerce and they have product and they have categories, amazing. But then they have pages like search results. Then they have pages like created by faceted navigation. And then, okay, they don't have any processes to handle those. And they really influence badly the good pages, right? The pages that we want to rank. Either they take too much of crawling budget, or is they showing up randomly instead of the real pages that we want to rank. All sorts of things, right? But there is usually no structure between, okay, these are the page templates that we have. These are the page templates that we want to rank. That's how they're connected to each other by internal links, right? Whether it's in-text internal links or whether it's link blocks, which I love a lot. And these are the pages that we want to ignore, and then how we want to ignore them. Do we no-index them, or do we disable crawling for them? Not both. Or do we canonicalize them to other pages that we want to rank? So I think fundamentally, this is the biggest thing that a lot of websites are missing.
Right. Now, I can't remember when it was, but you decided to give the job up to do technical SEO educational material yourself. Now, why, what spurred you on to make that decision, the big move from a regular income to, you know, I want to educate people myself on technical SEO? Did you find that there was a missing need for it?
Yes, I think, well, first of all, I'm a continuous learner. And when I say that, it means that I don't only like go on YouTube or like read blogs. There's nothing wrong with that. But I buy courses. I buy courses all the time and I go through them. So it helps me to get shortcuts to get to the end point when I want to be much faster. So that's why initially, and my SEO career, as I mentioned, started with a course. So I know this works. So, and through my whole career, I was accidentally in the company, I was the one who would train people, right? So in my first job, after 6 months, and I was just a newbie, right? After 6 months, I started training people who were working much longer in the company just because I was fascinated and excited and I loved it, and they not necessarily cared a lot. So they didn't want to go this extra mile and learn. So I was like, okay, we need to adjust our processes. This doesn't look right. So let me create these processes and teach them. And this happened through my whole career. So when I quit my job in 2019, I decided, okay, so I'm going to work with clients and I'm going to teach people too. So I created my first course. It was general SEO, like all aspects of SEO. And then I realized that the aspect that I love the most and that people love the most, how I teach it, is technical SEO. I remember it was like seventh module in my course, and it was their biggest module, the longest module, and people loved it the most. So I was like, okay, why won't I then just go and create technical SEO specific training? So last year, that's exactly what I did. And I realized that simultaneously, like working with clients and creating a course for me didn't make sense anymore, because I wanted to scale my income and I wanted to basically dedicate myself only to it. And I made this leap, and it was great. It has been really great. And I know that technical SEO is the thing that people, like, if you take 100% of SEOs, the biggest percentage of people who are in SEO, they will be struggling with technical specifically. It's just because usually people start with like either link building or on page. And then technical, they understand, oh, there is something more. But usually they have this limiting beliefs like, oh, I need to be a developer. I'm not a developer. I don't know how to do that. Oh, it's intimidating. I can't look at the code. Like, no, just like, So, and I'm not a developer. And I knew exactly what I need to do and what I need to know in order to be successful in technical SEO without being a developer. So I knew that I had this perspective, and I also created my whole like method of understanding technical SEO. And I knew that so many people will benefit from it. That's why I made this jump and decided to go into teaching.
Yeah. One thing that you mentioned there that's so relevant is so many people that I've spoke to think that in order to be a technical SEO, you need to be a developer. You need to understand how to develop. But surely you just need to understand the principles and what you're looking at to get the developers to fix it.
So, exactly.
So from a scale of 0 to 100, when it comes to development, how much actual coding knowledge does a technical SEO need to have?
Okay, so I look at it differently, because for your question, I would answer 0. But hear me out. So when people say that they need development background in order to be successful in technical SEO, what they mean is that, oh, I should be able to fix it. Well, if you want to, yes, but I believe that everybody should do their job. If you're a car mechanic, it's your job to fix a car. If I'm just a driver, is it my job to fix a car? Well, it would be nice if I can change oil, but like, do I actually need to do that? Not really. I'd rather go to a mechanic who has this specialty to do these things, right? Because I'll trust them much more than I'll trust myself, because I have so many more things, and I'll be generous anyway. So first of all, I believe that everybody should do their job. The second thing that people think when they say they need development background is that they feel insecure while talking to developers. And they say, oh, something between the lines, well, development background makes me dangerous enough, right? So without this knowledge, they feel insecure talking to developers, like speaking the same language. But you can't speak the same language without being a developer too. And the last thing that they think about is like code equals development, which is not true. And when I think about that, there are almost 9,000 coding languages, right? And JavaScript being the most important one. And JavaScript has its own framework, like lots of different frameworks. And think about that. Every single like language and framework, they are also being updated. I once talked to a developer, and she was just specializing in like particular frameworks, which makes sense. And she's like, I need to be on top all the time because they're being updated. So you, as a technical SEO, you also need to be aware of the things that are going on in the SEO industry. And there are like 5 or 10 Google updates have happened since we started this podcast, right? So like you need to be aware of all like of the things that are going on in the SEO industry. So like you put yourself in a very unfortunate position when you need to be like to know development and to be like to know technical SEO. That's a lot. So instead of being a developer, what I believe in that you need to have deep understanding of technical SEO, which means well, yes, you need to know what a canonical is, and you need to know what it looks like in the code. You don't need to code it. You don't need to code from scratch a page, but you need to know web standards. You need to know, oh, okay, this is an internal link which is added with web standard. Oh, and this is an internal link which is added as a JavaScript event. You need to know the difference between them. Do you need to code this? No. Do you need to know the difference? Absolutely, yes. And you need to know the HTML structure of a page. And you need to know what doesn't go in the head section. You need to know how browsers process pages and what the difference is between how browsers render pages and how search engines do that, right? So what I realized is that all of this is so much better than trying to like learn coding. And it works so much better. And I had clients who would say, oh my God, like Christina is amazing because she understands coding. She can talk to developers and she can tell them exactly what they need to do. Yes, I can do that without being a developer. So that's exactly what I want people to understand. And that's exactly what I teach because you are setting the bar too high and unrealistic for yourself if you want to be it all.
Yes, definitely. You can't be everything to everyone, you know, and I think that just specializing, and for me, in a very, very simple form, is technical SEO is very much about problem solving, understanding what the problems are, then being able to communicate those problems to the relevant people in the teams. You know, in order to, for them to fix it, you know. But from technical SEO, do you physically need to know how to fix something, or do you just need to know, well, this is broken, please fix it?
So I always use two-way approach. I'm using my soft skills and my hard skills. When I say my soft skills, what I mean by that is that I understand that I'm on the same team with the developers. I don't just like play the blaming game, like, oh, you didn't do that, like you failed, right? I want to be on the same team with them. And I want, because at the end of the day, they care about the same thing that I do, but we just say it differently. So I don't tell them, oh, you need to do this for SEO. Because nobody cares when you, apart from SEOs, when you say, oh, it needs to be done for SEO. Like nobody does. So I speak their language. So, okay, this website needs to be fast because blah, blah, blah. Not because, oh, they're like Google. No, they don't really care about that. So when I say hard skills, what I mean by that is that I use very specific requirements. I write user stories and acceptance criteria. So let's say, if you need to have an XML sitemap on the website, right? Usually what happens, an SEO just says like, oh, I need an XML sitemap on the website. And then a developer implements it, let's say, and then you look and this sitemap is not automatically updated. It doesn't have like a bunch of URLs or it has the URLs that you don't need them there. And they go back to developer and say, oh, like you screwed up. Like you didn't do your job correctly. But well, it's actually you who didn't do your job correctly because it's on you to communicate properly what needs to be done and what it looks like, what success looks like. So that's why I use user stories. So a user story would be something like, as an SEO manager, I want the XML sitemap to be on the website and found in this URL because it will help the pages to be discovered and indexed by search engines. And then acceptance criteria is Okay, the sitemap is found in this URL. The sitemap is automatically updated whenever a page is added or removed. The sitemap has only the URLs that return 200 HTTP status codes. All these things, you list all the things, and then magically, it becomes so much more clear what exactly you want. And then when a developer gets back to you and says, oh, it's done, then you can test it against the acceptance criteria. And when something is not done, you can get back and say, oh, actually, these things have not been implemented. Can you look into this? Because you have something to back it up with, rather than just saying, oh, do it. So I find that this is super important to be very clear in your communication.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of it is communication. And I think the whole battle between SEOs and developers just comes down to communication. You know, it's like I've recently worked with a development team and I've said, look, this is what I'm trying to achieve and fix. You know, what do you think? How do you think we should go about it fixing? So I'm like involving them in the process of, you know, creating the solution, you know. And I think that a lot of it, I don't think, like you said, the soft skills of technical SEO, I don't think that a lot of people understand that. And they think, well, we need to talk in development language, but you don't. You just need to be nice and, you know, include them in everything.
Yeah, and also make sure that you know what their success looks like. Because you are another voice from all the voices that talk to them that want things implemented, right? So what success looks to them. And I remember, honestly, it was a breakthrough point for me. I remember Jackie Chu. She's in Dropbox now or Uber. I don't know. Don't remember. But she worked at Uber and Dropbox, and then she came back. Anyway, so I remember. So she works with enterprise teams, like huge teams, right? And I remember she told a story in one of her talks about how she wanted a developer to implement something. I don't remember exactly what. Maybe it was like for log analysis or something. But she asked the developer to implement something. And like the developer wouldn't. He just wouldn't. And then she realized that, okay, there is something else that is going on that she doesn't understand. So she asked this developer what was important for him. And apparently what was important for him is security of the website. So he was actually afraid that the thing that she asked him to implement would trigger some security breach, right? And when she realized it, she could talk about that. She said, oh, like, look, this is what I want you to do. This does not influence website security, so it's going to be fine. So once she explained, he implemented almost right away. So that's what I'm saying. Like, this is an example of soft skills. I realized that I was doing it like unintentionally a lot of the times. But when I heard this story from Jackie, I'm like, yes, that's exactly what a lot of the times we're missing. And I get it. I honestly get it. Because as SEOs, I think that we need to be like the most multifaceted people ever, because we, especially in technical, sometimes you just be like, okay, I don't want to talk to anyone. But you need to talk to people because you need to get things implemented, right? And you need to be heard. So you need to be a good communicator. And you also need to be pretty tech savvy and understand how things are working on a deep technical level.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Now, for SEOs out there that, you know, they've done all the foundational stuff, you know, they've got a base, an overview of things and want to specialize in something. If somebody's thinking about specializing in technical SEO, what should they be understanding? You know, what would determine them, yes, technical SEO's for me or not? What is it, or how deep do they need to go in order to determine, yes, it's the direction I want to go in or not?
Well, it's a really good question. I think that you first need to like try to understand what technical SEO is in the first place. And maybe if you're just trying to understand whether technical SEO is for you or not, maybe get your website, break it, and see what's going to happen. And honestly, like, I'm the first person who hates the advice of just get your website and you learn SEO, because I think that in most of the cases, this is not the case, because why we have so many people with broken websites? They don't magically become SEOs once they register domain and set up a website. But if you are not sure what way you want to go, test it, experiment it with it. If you like what I'm doing now, for example, with my main website, which some people think is crazy, I think is just pretty fun. I disabled crawling for my main website to see, okay, what is going to happen. So this is an example of a test that I can do and see, okay, what's happening. And then if you're testing with your own website and you are really fascinated about, oh, okay, like, did Google pick this up? Okay, what are the crawling stats in Google Search Console? If you are fascinated by it, if you find yourself going through the rabbit hole and trying to understand what these things are, then technical SEO is definitely for you. I find that technical SEO for me in general, and I said, like, I came not, like, from not tech savvy background. I had no idea what things were. So I taught myself to be tech savvy. What technical SEO helped me, I never realized that this would be a thing. But first of all, I now can figure out any online tool out there, maybe except for Slack. I hate like so many things that it has. But when I need to set up like for my online course business, right, there are a lot of things that I need to do and that are going on behind the scenes. So when I need to figure something out, it happens like this. Just because my brain thinks in the right direction. Plus, when I plan something, being a technical SEO, what it means, I look at everything from like the bigger picture, and then I go deeper and deeper and deeper. Because that's how I look at the website. Okay, what are the pages and page templates that there are, right? And then what I want to do with each of them. So it really helped me to think like that. If this is something that you want to achieve, if this is something that you already have, then most likely technical SEO is going to be for you.
Yes. Now, with a basic understanding, I don't want to go into it too deep into technical SEO because it's very much dependent on lots of different things. But from a top level overview, what would you say the main aspects of technical SEO are?
I developed this technical SEO formula that actually it's much better to think about this as a periodic table, right? Periodic table in chemistry. You have like different elements. You need water, you get two H's, and then you get O, and you have H2O, right? The same thing, I see technical SEO the same way. There are different parts of technical SEO. So I categorize them as rank, don't rank, and accessibility and UX. So in the rank part, we see, okay, there is a self-referencing canonical. So and rank means that I want this page to be ranked by Google. Okay, so I want this page to be ranked. It means that it needs to be allowed for crawling. It needs to be allowed for indexing. It needs to return to 100 HTTP status code. So basically understanding crawling and indexing, and then basically what the page should have, like the right canonical tag pointing to itself or like zero canonical tag is fine as well. So I want this to happen. Plus, I want things from the UX and accessibility bucket. I want the page to be secure. I want the page to be fast. all these amazing and accessible, all these amazing things, right? So, and if I want the page, and if I don't want the page to rank, then I decide, okay, do I want Google to crawl it? Do I want Google to index it? Should this page be canonicalized to itself or to some other page? So these are this is how I think about, and even like on the page template level, this is how I think about technical SEO, so that I can understand what exactly do I need to do with this page to maximize the impact of this page on the website, or to minimize its negative impact, right? But I would say that starting with a deeper understanding of crawling and indexing, that would be really important, because most of the SEOs don't get it, even like after being in SEO for a while. And that's fine, that like we all start somewhere. But I find that too many people are confused about like, okay, do I have a staging website indexed on Google? So I disabled crawling and I also added no index. Hey, no, it doesn't work this way. So I think this would be really important and fundamental things to learn.
Yes. Now I want to talk a little bit about your course, your technical SEO course. Is it you actually doing training live with them, or is it like an online course they go through?
It's an online course people go through at their own time, at their own pace. I believe there are like 13 hours of content or so. But it's also very practical, because honestly, I hate theoretical courses, especially when it comes to SEO. And I ditched all the decks and everything. And I was just like, okay, these are the things that you need to know. And here is, I'm showing you in the browser how exactly like you find this, how exactly you fix the issues, right? Or how do you write user stories? So it's pre-recorded. And sometimes I think, I know like people are like, oh, how an SEO course can be up to date? For me, well, first of all, I update the course when it makes sense, but it's not my intention to give people like 60, 80 hours of content that they will not ever watch. My intention is to help people to understand, like to start thinking as a technical SEO, to get the technical SEO mindset. That's my main thing, because I don't want people to rely on me all the time. This is not real learning. Real learning is that when you finish and then you just sit and like, okay, I got this. I got this without relying on anyone else, without relying on external validation, on like wasting hours on forums and everywhere. So that's why the course is pre-recorded and I update it when it makes sense.
Yes, I was talking to a SEO yesterday who I'm mentoring and training, and I said, when you don't need me anymore, I know I've done my job.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm not a drag to get people dependent on me, right? I really want people, and like this is one of my goals, is to help people to rely on themselves, to rely on their knowledge, because that's where your expertise is. If you always just keep looking on forums and online and you get this conflicting advice, you're just stuck in the imposter vicious cycle. You're just like, I don't know anything. But if you can rely on your knowledge and then you add your experience to that, right? That's the best thing. That's where magic happens. And you can, it doesn't mean that you know 100% of everything. Nobody does. Nobody does. Yeah. But you are confident when you don't know, you are confident that you can figure out because you know this whole structure. Like you were a mechanic, right? You know, like how cars work. I don't know anything about the cars, but I for some reason decided to make this example. You like know how different cars work, right? And you helped with the agent with Hyundai, right? But agent for like Honda is going to be different, but you can figure out. You can look at the manual because you know where to look at, right? You can look at the manual. You know exactly what to ask, if even if you Google or even like what chapter you need to look at in the manual, but you can figure it out. So because you have this fundamental core knowledge that you can rely on, that's what I want from people.
Yeah, definitely. Would you say your job then is to give people an understanding of how to problem solve?
I would say yes, how to problem solve and how to how to make sure that everything works properly with a website, like from the technical SEO perspective. Because, well, in some cases, like in most of the cases, yes, we are problem solvers. But also, we are these kind of people that if everything works properly and you made sure that it works properly, nobody knows about it, about you. So I remember there was some story about, I don't remember what company it was. I'm really bad at like remembering these things, but I remember the essence. So there were mechanics in the like factory or something. And usually people are paid by hour, right? So obviously if more things break, the more time they work fixing it, the more they could make, right? But it means that the main point of things not being broken is missed. So these people were paid when things were working, right? So they were paid for the hours that they didn't work because the machines were functioning properly. So I think in many cases, we technical SEOs are like these people, because especially, let's say you're setting up, like I help many clients with, okay, they're like, oh, we want to set up our custom CMS, right? We want to set up our custom CMS. Can you give us all like technical SEO recommendations for this? And I would write down all technical SEO requirements for a custom CMS and it will work. If it didn't, then I didn't do my work properly. But if it does, they might forget about me, but I did my job properly.
Yes, so, yeah, definitely. So, sometimes, you know, people only remember you in the moment, you know, and that's a case of many different things. But for you personally, what makes you passionate about what you're doing?
Well, there are two things. In general, like in SEO, in technical SEO, as I said, for me, the devil is in the detail. Like I've seen so many things, so many fascinating things when you just look and they look good on the surface. But then when you dig a little bit, things don't look good. So that was really fascinating to me. And then when it comes to teaching, what makes me passionate is seeing my students' results. Because I get messages like, oh, I just landed a new job, like a much better job. I just landed a new client. I had a student, Alex. She is amazing. She's just like, okay. She went through my previous general SEO course. And then she's like, okay, I want to go specifically in technical SEO. So she went through my technical SEO course. And I remember she finished and she messaged me, oh, you inspired me so much. I now really want to go and pursue specifically technical SEO opportunity. And they have a company on my radar and they have a dream opportunity and I really want to get it. And I'm like, okay, go, girl. That's amazing. And then sometime later, she messages me and she's like, I got the job. I am so happy. I'm starting soon. And I feel so empowered by like learning those things from you. And that makes me so happy because like I have over 500 people in my course right now and it's a lot and it's helping like to improve the industry in general, right? The knowledge in the industry. And I'm just thankful to the industry in general. And this is my way to give back and to help people to be much better at their jobs and to get better opportunities. That's what I love.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. You know, as you're aware, you know, I do provide training myself, and I think it was last week somebody who I've you know, been there for the past 5 years, started as a junior, texted me and said, "Mark, I'm so excited. Thank you for everything because I've just secured a head of SEO job." You know, and that for me personally, it's not about money. It's not about things. It's about helping to make a difference.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and that feeling, you know, obviously we need to pay the bills and everything, but that feeling is something money cannot buy. Right. Now, technical SEO, what would you say to all the people in the industry out there to say, well, technical SEO doesn't really matter because it's all about the content?
I would say that, okay, I'll tell a story. I worked with one of the clients and we recommended the best pages for them. They finally created these pages. And like the content was really great, but then Google wouldn't pick this up. Google wouldn't see those pages and wouldn't index. And when Google can't index, obviously it can't rank. So I looked into this and they had a JavaScript issue on these pages. And it's funny because it was like, a company providing development education, right? So I think they went too smart with it. So the whole body of the page where like the main content is was because of this JavaScript issue was not available. So like obviously Google is looking at this, it sees only the main navigation, the footer, and it's like, oh, that's, you don't want these pages, right? So the thing is, even if the content is really great, it doesn't matter unless it's indexed and ranked. And it was a really great reminder that all things should work together. Of course, if you have like a well-optimized website in terms of technical SEO, but there is no content, the website is not going to rank really too, right? But these things should work together. And I remember also people coming to me when they were enrolling in the course, they always ask, I have an onboarding form, and I ask them, okay, why did you decide to join? And many people would be like, I provide content, but when clients come to me, I see that there is like something going on with their website, that all my work, like all the content that I create, it will not have as big impact as it could have, right? And then they realize that they're lacking this knowledge to solve this issue. So that's why they decided to join the course. But the thing is, nothing exists in just like silos. All these things are important.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything has to work together. I explain it as though it's a big jigsaw puzzle. And each piece of the puzzle plays a part and they all have to fit together. You know, now, regarding your Chrome extension, I know lots of people who are using it and it's like become the lifeblood of everything they do. You know, it's saving them so much time and effort. I mean, for me, it just makes everything, you know, easier at a glance. What made you want to create that SEO Chrome extension?
Yeah, so the SEO Pro extension, I mean, I love it. And honestly, it might sound selfish, but initially I created it for myself because I was using another tool, which was like pretty similar, but honestly, the UX was shit and I didn't love using it at all. So I was like, okay, I need something that I will actually enjoy using and that will give me the information that I need. So I sat down and I wrote down like all the requirements and everything. And my husband is a UX UI designer. So that's why that's why the SEO Pro extension looks so good. And so many people say, oh, finally someone with eyes, right? Because it's created by UX UI designers. So, and I was just like, okay, that's what I want to see. That's what how I want things to look like. And then it just exploded. I think I got like a couple of thousands of users within the first month. Now we're about like over 70,000 users worldwide, which is crazy. And I love adding, like at this point, we like don't have any bugs that I'm aware of, at least. So it's only building on it. So I have a roadmap of things that I want to add. And I'm very strict about like how I view the extension, because some people are like, oh, it needs to be competitor research. It needs to be this. It needs to be this. I'm like, this is not my vision. This is not like at all for everything. Because if I start doing everything, then it will not be good at one thing that it does. It's showing you the information right away, all the SEO information about the page right away in like 3 seconds, right? So initially we started with fewer features. Now we also have like cobalt vitals, word count. And my next thing that I really want to add is tracking the difference between the source code and the rendered HTML, because rendered HTML, like now the extension will show you the information from the rendered HTML. So I want to add like the difference between source code and rendered HTML. That's somewhere on the roadmap for the next year. But yeah, as I said, like initially I was creating it for me, and I'm using it myself every single day. I sometimes have like, you know, I install a new browser profile and then I'm on some website and I want to check and my extension is not in the browser. I'm like, no, I feel like so helpless. So I'm like, okay, I need to install it right now. So yeah, that's how it all started.
Yeah, I know you recently added the social tab on it.
Yeah.
And Literally within 2 days, I clicked on it and think, oh, the social images are appearing. You know, we go back and look at it. But without that, I probably wouldn't have looked. You know, I probably wouldn't have, you know, tried. So it really does, at a glance, make things not appear, but more, right. I can see if it's supposed to be doing what it's meant to be doing. Now, The time is rocking on, and I want to ask you, is there anything you feel the audience need to hear that we haven't already covered yet?
I think there is one thing that I really want audience to hear. We kind of covered that, but I think this message is very important. So if you think that you want to be in technical SEO, please, please, please don't feel intimidated by it. And don't listen to gatekeepers who will tell you that you cannot be successful if you're not a developer or you don't have a science, computer science degree, right? Don't listen to those people, especially if you're a woman, because I can't tell you how many women I've met who would come up to me and say, oh, I thought it's so intimidating. And like, I cannot handle. Usually technical SEOs are only males. This is not true. So if you want to go that road, you have an opportunity to do that. And it's up to you to decide, not up to anyone else. And even in my course, I have like almost 50% of females, which I'm super happy about. And if you want to check out the course, you can go to techseo.pro and you can get all the information there.
Wonderful. And on that note, where can people find you and what sort of conversations would you like to have?
So you can find me on LinkedIn at Christina Azarenko. You can find me at Twitter. I'm Azarchik there, and Tech SEO Pro is the main course that I have, and I think that's it where you can find me. I mean, there are more places, but these are the main ones. And if you have any questions about like, okay, how do I proceed in technical SEO, just go for it. You can message me.
Wonderful. Well, many thanks for your time, and it's been absolutely fantastic having you on.
Thank you so much, Mark. Thank you so much for everyone who is listening, who is watching this. You are amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You've been listening to the Unscripted SEO Interview Podcast with me, Mark A. Preston. Join us next time as I interview more top SEO professionals.